Luke chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 36. If you awoke to flames engulfing your house, what would you consider necessary to take out with you? If once safely outside, is there anything you might consider necessary enough to your life for you to re-enter that burning structure? Let me rephrase the question to direct your thinking another way. Of all your life experiences, what is the most significant, the most meaningful, the most defining, the most necessary for you to continue living? We're going to look this morning at two lives and what each thought necessary. The first is a religious person, a Pharisee. Simon was his name. John had been in this area, John the Baptist had been in this area preaching repentance and baptism as a sign of repentance. But the Pharisees rejected his message, they rejected his ministry, they rejected him. And by doing that, they were rejecting God's purposes for themselves. The other was a woman. One commentator said, a heinous and habitual sinner. No doubt part of the crowd described earlier in chapter 7 who had accepted John's message, ministry, and thereby accepted God's purpose for her life. And she anticipated the coming of Jesus as the Messiah, the Anointed One. So what each thought necessary was vastly different. And in one of these two, you will find yourself. Only the necessary. Let's read chapter 7, verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him, Jesus, to dine with him. And Jesus entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. A money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What is necessary? Repentance is necessary. Is a necessary part of life. Repentance is turning away from sin, not a veering from it. To repent is to alter one's way of looking at life. It is to take God's point of view instead of one's own. Repentance does not mean remorse. There's a lot of things that we're sorry happened. We don't like the consequences, but is there any repentance? Repentance means giving up sin. That's the message that John had preached, and both the Pharisee and the woman had heard it. One didn't accept it, the other one did. One was religious. He kept the law, at least on the outside. He didn't seem to think there was anything he needed to repent of. But there was. There was. The outside of his life looked good, at least to other folks. But he rejected John's message. So what was going on in his heart? What was going on in his heart? Concerned about how things would look, he invited this renowned teacher, Jesus, into his home. Those of you who have been to Honduras, you just kind of got to imagine that the homes in Israel in those days was something like this one. The dogs and the cats and the pigs and everything just kind of wanders in and out. They didn't have big elaborate doors. And so everybody was kind of watching what was going on. And this Pharisee wanted to look good. At this point, he may not have formed a definite opinion of Jesus, but once the woman came in, once he saw what the woman was doing, his mind was made up. The woman was not religious. She was described as a sinner. She was an immoral person. She was probably a prostitute. She, though, knew repentance was necessary. She knew it was necessary. The Pharisee said to himself, if this Jesus was a prophet, he would know what kind of person was touching him. And let me tell you, as a Pharisee, as a religious person, he wouldn't ever begin to get touched or be touched or touch someone like this lady. He was holding on to that outward expression of being religious, and he turned his back on the need for repentance in his own life. A Sunday school teacher once asked the class what was meant by the word repentance. They thought for a minute. One little boy put up his hand and said, "It's being sorry for your sins." A little girl also raised her hand. She said, "It's being sorry enough to quit." So what are you sorry enough about in your life to quit? What are you sorry enough about in your life to quit? It may be that you have been thinking that you can be like God, that you get to decide right and wrong. Every one of us have believed the first biggest lie, that you can be like God. Can I say to you, that's not possible? It's not yours to decide right and wrong. It's God's. Is there anything in your life you need to repent of today? What do you need to turn away from? A lack of repentance is the cause of people professing to accepting Christ without any evidence of a changed life. A lack of repentance may be why we as a denomination have about a third of our numbers thinking that worship is important enough to get up and be at church about. I don't know, I've mentioned the numbers many times over the last week. If that doesn't break your heart, tell me what would. For some 16 million people professing to know Christ, but only about 6 million of them actually thinking worship is important enough to get up, to change what they want to do to worship the one who supposedly saved them. Has there been a point in your life where you came to that point of repentance, where you said, "I cannot decide what's right and wrong anymore"? If not, are you really saved? Do you really know Him? If there is that point in your life where you have come to that place where you said, "I cannot decide anymore," is there a lifestyle of ongoing repentance? Because if there's not, then you fail to see who Christ is in light of, in, in yourself in light of who He is. I was talking with a guy the other day. We got to talking about repentance. I knew where he had driven from. I said, how many times did you have to correct your course from where you started to here? A lot. That's the lifestyle of repentance. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing need. And a lack of repentance explains why too many on the church's roll live as the world lives. In whatever way you want to talk about it. Let me tell you, if the church, if we began to take repentance seriously, there would not be any divorces. If we began to take repentance seriously, there would not be any estrangement from family. If we really began to take repentance seriously, there would not be any kind of stuff that we hear about going on in the world. I got to tell this about my father-in-law. Bless his heart. When he retired out of the military, he went to be a chaplain in a prison in downtown Chicago. Metropolitan Correctional Center, I believe, was the name of it. Downtown Chicago. If you walked by it, you wouldn't know it was a prison, except for the windows were about that wide. All the white-collar criminals of the day got sent there in that area. Coming up out of the military and not being a Southern Baptist at that point, but a Northern strain of Baptist, he would kid his soon-to-be son-in-law, who had been born and raised a Southern Baptist, that he had Southern Baptist deacons in prison. Now, let me tell you, if those guys took repentance seriously, they wouldn't be there because they wouldn't have been doing whatever it was that they did to get there. Do we really think that repentance is necessary? What is necessary for your life? Only the necessary. What is necessary? Forgiveness is a necessary part of life. Without repentance, there can be no forgiveness. When all the guests were seated around the Pharisee's table, the woman came in, just like I say, you know, it was kind of an open world, and she came in, and Jesus, it says that he was reclining at the table. Now, they sat down to eat differently than we do. And I'd try to demonstrate it for you, but I'm not really sure myself, because somehow or another, the feet were sticking out behind, and yet they were kind of around the table together. They didn't have the winged armchair that I'm going to sit in at my house. And here's the Pharisee, and here's Jesus, and all others. And here comes in this woman. And she came in with a container of perfume as an expression of thanks for being forgiven. And with his feet away from the out and away from the table, the woman stood over his feet and began to cry. She began to realize that this is the one who has forgiven me of all that I've done. And her natural response, and possibly maybe your natural response ought to be, that she began to cry. Tears of joy. She couldn't believe it. All that she had done was forgiven. And she began to cry. And as she cried, his feet literally became wet. And letting down her long hair, which would have been a social taboo. A woman wouldn't have done that. That would have been so embarrassing. She let her hair down, began and kneeled down, and began to dry his feet with her hair. And then, since she was down there, she began to kiss his feet. Because she knew she had been forgiven. She knew that she was in a right relationship with God. And then she began to apply the perfume to his feet. Jesus knew what Simon was thinking. So he began to tell a story, a parable. A bank, a money lender, had two debtors. One of them owed 500 denarii. How much money did you make last year? However you want to say it. Whatever your retirement income was, whatever you made, 1.5, multiply that times 1.5. Then there was a person who owed 50 denarii. That was about a year and a half worth of salary. The one was would have been just astronomical. But neither of the lenders could pay back what they owed. And he said, now which one do you think was more happy, more glad? Both of them's debt were forgiven. The truth of it is there's not a small debt that any one of us owes to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is not a year and a half's salary. There's an astronomical amount. Forgiveness is a necessary part of life. The young lady spoke often of going to the city. She dreamed of trading her dusty neighborhood for the excitement of the city, and when she spoke of it to her mother just became so concerned. And she said, "What would you do for a living?" Finally, one day, the daughter just left. Didn't tell her mother she was going, she just left. The mother knew pretty much where she was going. She had gone to the city, the large city close to where they lived. And she knew what the daughter might have to do to survive. And so she went looking for her daughter. She threw some clothes in a bag and took off to the city to look for her. Everywhere she went, she took a picture of herself. The mother took a picture of herself and posted it somewhere. She taped it on a mirror. She put it on a bulletin board, hoping that her daughter would see the picture. And on the back of every one, she wrote this little message. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've become. It doesn't matter. Please come home. And that's the message that Jesus is saying to you today. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what you have become. Come to me. Follow me. Come to me. Follow me. I forgive you. Do you know you have been forgiven? Sadly, there are folks like the Pharisee who do not realize they need to be forgiven. Some think because they live a good life, there's no need for God's forgiveness. Others have a twisted sense of pride that says, I've been so bad that God couldn't forgive me. And they're wrong on that account too. The only thing unforgivable is not asking Jesus for forgiveness. Have you been forgiven this day? Jesus is able to forgive anything a repentant heart asked to be forgiven of. Others sometimes struggle with just forgiving themselves. Have you forgiven yourself? What is necessary for your life? Only the necessary. What is necessary? Faith is a necessary part of life. Without repentance, there can be no forgiveness. Without forgiveness, there can be no faith. Faith, acceptance, belief that God sent His Son to die in your place. Jesus turned to the Pharisee, He turned to Simon, and He reminded him of some things. When I came into your house, you offered me no water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with your hair. You gave me no kiss of greeting, but she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she put perfume on my feet. And Jesus finished with the Pharisee by saying this, "For this reason her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who has forgiven little loves little." Jesus turned to the woman and said, "Your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I heard Ann Graham Lotz in a discussion on Focus on the Family one time tell of a period in her life in which this list of things happened. All three kids married within 8 months. The oldest, her son, was soon diagnosed with cancer. Her husband's dentistry office burned to the ground. Her mother went through 5 emergency hospitalizations in 10 months. Whoever it was, Dobson or somebody, kind of jokingly said it, asked her if she needed a vacation. And she said, "No, I don't need a vacation. I don't even need a miracle. All I need is Jesus." Her faith. She had faith. So how much do you need Jesus this morning? How much do you love Jesus this morning? Is it that you have little love because you think there has been little in your life to forgive? Part of the call on all of our lives today is to live by faith. Will you? Will you choose to live by faith this day? If you have been in church much in your life, you probably know what I mean by saying or asking what about your testimony. You've heard people give theirs. Would repentance be part of your testimony? Would forgiveness be a part of your testimony? Would faith be a part of your testimony? Are you the Pharisee who thought he didn't have much to be forgiven, so he loved little? Or are you the woman who knew exactly who she was and knew that she had much to be forgiven for and loved much? Which one? What's necessary in your life?